بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ tonight is the 15th of January in the year 2021 الحمدللہ to start the life of another illustrious companion of our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and each of the companions of our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam are signs of nubuwwat are signs to the veracity of the prophethood of our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam because only a prophet could have molded such people and when you go through their lives you realize that they are indeed signs of almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this is why the scholars point out one of the shaykhs mentioned that if our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have any physical miracles we would still know he's the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam through going through the lives of his students and these are great signs of almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so the companion who will spend roughly a month inshallah is the great Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu anhu So first, his lineage and a brief physical description. So with regards to his lineage, it is an awesome lineage. In Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he said, he is the son of the special disciple of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayy Zubair radiyallahu anhu, whose mother was the daughter of As-Siddiq, Ay Asma radiyallahu anha and maternal aunt was the mother of the believers Aisha the wife of the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so here the great Abdullah ibn Abbas he's praising Abdullah ibn Zubair and he's praising him with regards to his blood he goes both from his father and his mother he's got a noble lineage his father was the cousin of Rasulullah Zubair, one of the ten promised paradise. That's his father. And Zubair radiallahu anhu is not only the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, i.e. his first cousin, he's also the nephew of Khadija. Khadija radiallahu anha's nephew was Zubair. So note, Abdullah ibn Zubair, his kind of grandfather's sister was Khadija radiallahu anhu. So his father's side, He's got the great Zubair radiallahu anhu. His mother was Abu Bakr Siddiq's daughter, Asma. So his blood through his maternal side goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And of course, therefore, Sayyida Aisha was his aunt radiallahu anhu. It would be sufficient to point out that Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of Zubair. The son of Asma, the grandson of Abu Bakr and Safiya, the great grandson of Abdul Muttalib and Aisha's most beloved nephew. Subhanallah. So even if you didn't know nothing about his life, you look at his lineage, you're thinking, Subhanallah, you know, his lineage is so close to that of Rasulullah, second only to the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. Indeed, his noble aunt, our beloved mother, Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, had a special place for him in her pure heart. In Al-Bidayah, volume 8, Urwa ibn Zubair, his brother, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha did not love anyone after Rasulullah and her father Abu Bakr, as she did Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu anha. Indeed, I have not seen my father Zubair and Aisha supplicating for anyone as they did for Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu anhu subhanallah so Urwa ibn Zubair was the younger brother of Abdullah ibn Zubair his father was also Zubair radiyallahu anhu so he's saying that Aisha she loved the prophet first and foremost the most sallallahu alaihi wasallam then she loved her father Abu Bakr now think about that according to Urwa After her father, she loved Abdullah ibn Zubair the most. Now, why is that interesting? Because Aisha had brothers and sisters. So you would expect after the father, Of course, the mother, Umm Ruman. So Urwa said she loved Abdullah ibn Zubair the most. Then he added something. He goes, my father Zubair, radiallahu, and my aunt Aisha, I have not seen them making dua for anyone as they did for Abdullah ibn Zubair. I think about that. If somebody says to you, a saintly soul is regularly making dua for you, you know what a great bounty that is. If a sahaba is regularly making dua for you, and if somebody goes, one of the 10 promised paradise is making regularly dua for you. Not only that, he's your father. And the father's dua get answered, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Now what about Zubair's duas, radiyallahu? And of course, Ummul Mu'mineen, if your mother's making dua for you, your mother's dua is so powerful. And yet this is the mother of the believer. So he had the duas of his father and Aisha. And Urwa said, I noticed they would always make dua for Abdullah ibn Zubair. This shouldn't come as a surprise. Why? In Ibn Majah, number 3739, Sahih, Ahmad in his Musnad 6-183, 6-213. Our beloved mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, I once asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kullu azwajika kanayta ghayri. All of your wives have an agnaman except I. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Fa anti ummu abdillah. You are the mother of Abdullah. That is your agnaman. So let's look at this. So in this Sahih hadith in Ibn Majah, our beloved mother, she didn't have an agnaman, means kunyat, because she had no children. You are given your kunyat from your eldest child. So she said, all of your wives have an agnaman. Why? Because she had not married. She was married directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other wives were either widows or their husbands had divorced us. So, and they had children, most of them. So they had kunyats. Aisha, she goes, I haven't got a kunyat, Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Fa anti ummu Abdullah, you are the mother of Abdullah. So now, did she have a son called Abdullah? The answer is no. So why was the Prophet saying to her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the mother of Abdullah. Meaning, you can take your kunyat after your nephew, Abdullah ibn Zubair, radiallahu anhu. In another report, it mentions, in Abu Dawood, number 4970, Sahih, Ahmad in his Musnad 6-107, Hakim in his Mustadrak 4-278, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih, Urwa ibn Zubair, his brother again, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, my aunt Aisha once said, radiallahu anhu, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kullu sawahibi lahunna kunna. O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all my friends have a kunyat. He responded, Faqtani bi ibniki Abdullah. Call yourself by the name of your son, Abdullah. Meaning the son of his sister, of her sister. Musaddad added, Abdullah ibn Zubair was meant, radiallahu anhu. Though she was known by the kunya of Ummi Abdullah. Now think about that. If somebody says to you, what's our mother, Sayyida Aisha, radiallahu anha's kunyat? Most of us would think, she didn't have any children. So what is her kunya? He's Ummul Mu'mineen. Her kunyat is Ummi Abdullah. So the one thing that goes to your mind is, well, did she have a son called Abdullah? The answer is no. Because the Prophet himself said, call yourself by the name of your son Abdullah, meaning the son of your sister, Asma. Now think about that. When she was given that kunyat by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't you think he's going to have a special place in her heart? If the Prophet said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes, you can use the kunyat of your nephew. So that is why she would regularly make dua for him, meaning this, my nephew must be special because my beloved has attached me to my nephew, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, thus this was a further divine approval and pleasure of Abdullah ibn Zubair. Why? He had to be pious. If the Prophet is saying, name yourself Abdullah, and then you find out that, well, in the books of history, he was power mad. He wanted to become Khalif, and he was this and that. Then you think, well, why did the Prophet say to Aisha, name your kunyat after Abdullah? It goes back to the fact he's a pious man. The blessed scholars have deduced from these authentic reports that a woman may also adopt a kunyat even if they have no children. Think about that. Because some women are blessed with children. They can have a kunyat. They can name themselves after one of their nephews or even nieces. No problem. There was a companion, his name was Anas. He was a child, radiallahu. And the Prophet called him Abu Hamza. So how can a child have a son called Hamza? The Prophet even gave children kunyats, Abu Hamza. And later on, he called one of his sons Hamza. Maybe the Prophet was indicating that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note why, psychologically, it gives confidence to children when you give them kunyats. They're proud of that. So note, whatever the Prophet does is for your benefit, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With regards to his physical description, Ibn Kathir described his body was slim, though not particularly tall. He bore the mark of prostration between his eyebrows. He had a noble and well-respected personality, and his beard was especially faint. In fact, he did not have much facial hair at all. This is in Al-Bidayah, in the chapter on the Khalifa of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. So let's look at this. So he was thin. Now why is that important? Because the deviants, i.e. the misguided Rawafid, they portray him as a glutton, somebody who's fat. In fact, one of their series, which I don't want to promote, he can't even get off the chair. So one of their actors portrayed him like an obese, you know, man. Astaghfirullah. The reality was he was thin. He wasn't that tall. He had a huge prostration mark between his eyebrows. His beard was faint. So the way to describe it, like you get in the amongst the Malaysian brothers, they've got a beard, but you can see the complete chin bone. His beard was like this. In fact, he didn't have much facial hair at all. Abdullah ibn Zubair. What else do we know about his description? In Al-Bidayah volume 8, Abdul Wahid ibn Ayman rahmatullah alayhi, he said, he possessed a thunderous voice that when he delivered a sermon, the mountains would answer him. They would echo. He was astute. He was eloquent. Extremely courageous. Having a noble soul with a high sense of honor, he was very highly minded. So look at these beautiful descriptions by his contemporaries. He had a thunderous voice. Now what's interesting about that? Some people have voices like this. Abbas had a thunderous voice. Abu Talha had a thunderous voice. So did Abdullah ibn Zubair. Meaning that Allah Ta'ala gifted him with this because he needed this. Secondly, he was also very eloquent. Why? Because if you've got a thunderous voice and you're talking gibberish, you give people a headache. The Quran says the worst of noises is the braying of an ass. Right? You know, people, you know, he's got, and then they put mic on as well. You think, oh, now I'm going to get a triple migraine. Right? Why are you shouting? There's a time and a place. Right? Sometimes for no reason, head spinning. Right? So he was eloquent, meaning he would only use it with his eloquence. He had great eloquence, he was extremely courageous, which we mentioned, and he was very highly minded, meaning always doing noble things. It must be added, his entire body, if not most of it, was later scarred with various blessed wounds he had accumulated during his various campaigns in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even though they didn't mention that, I want to mention that his body was like his father's. What's funny now is people are impressed by medals. You see a person, oh, he's a veteran. Why? What kind of colours he's got, right? Because you can buy that in Oxfam, right? You know, they go, no, he goes, no, that shows that he's got a military cross. We don't bother about all these crosses. Look how interesting cross. Even in that, you put a cross, beakus, right? Symbol of shirk, right? Put it on. You know, that's the way to honour the braver stuff for Allah. The symbols that we honour ourselves with, the Prophet told you. The Prophet said in Tirmidhi and Mishkat, there are two marks and two drops which are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The marks from jihad and the mark from worship, i.e. prostration marks, etc. And the two drops which are beloved to him is the drop of blood that is shed in his cause and the tear that falls due to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. Nothing about crosses and this, that. All of that are the signs of honor. Who were given this? Rasulullah. Every one of them. People say, why was he injured in Uhud? Look how, pathetic people are. Oh, because that time he was honored. If he didn't have a scratch on his body, people would have said, now he said to you that God honors people with marks, he didn't have a scratch. So in Uhud, Allah Ta'ala blessed him. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He shed his blood, shed his tears, prostration mark, everything, signs of honor. How beloved are the marks? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he once saw a man, he's giving stipends. And this man came and he started giving him his stipend. But the man didn't move. So he gave him more. He kept giving him more. Eventually the man got embarrassed and he walked away. So somebody then said to Amir al-Mu'mineen, he goes, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he goes, why did you give him more? Because didn't you see the mark? Because if he has remained sitting here, I would have given him everything. And the mark was of jihad. Because he had a mark of jihad in him. Right? So why? Because that's what honor is. So note again, and if that is the honor given to a mark, then what about the martyr? Bali Bali Musulman, what's the reward for the martyr, brother? What planet are those guys on? His brothers and sisters. In Tabari in his Tariq, volume 3, page 2461, Zubair and Asma were blessed with the following child: Abdullah ibn Zubair, Munzir ibn Zubair, Urwa ibn Zubair, Muhajir ibn Zubair, Khatija bint Zubair, Ummul Hassan bint Zubair, and Aisha bint Zubair. Radiallahu ta'ala. So now what's interesting? Look at the names. Right? So Zubair, who is he naming his children after? Amitabh Bachchan, right? His eldest son, Abdullah ibn Zubair. So he called his eldest son Abdullah. He called another one of his sons Mundir. He called another one of his sons Urwa, Muhajir, Khatija, Ummul Hassan, Aisha. So leaving the blessed females, he was naming his sons after martyrs. And in fact, one report mentions he would do this. He would name them after martyrs. Why? So that the children grow up with pride over their name. Abdullah was martyred in the Battle of Uhud. Mundhir was martyred amongst the Ansar. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Urwa ibn Mas'ud was martyred by his tribe, the Thaqif. Muhajir, another companion who was martyred during the campaigns. His daughters he named after the mothers of the believers. Khatija, Ummul Hassan, and Aisha. So how many brothers and sisters, according to this report? He had three brothers and he had three sisters, according to this report. Note that Zubair had many other children from different wives. This is from Asma. So all of those children I've mentioned, they're the grandchildren of Abu Bakr. Because Asma was the mother of all these children. The other children he had from other wives, one was Mus'ab. Again, note, martyr. Named him after the martyr of Uhud. Another son he had was Ja'far. Note again, martyr. To remember the martyrs, radiallahu ta'ala. Indeed, it is authentically related in Sahih Bukhari. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 201 of the New English Translation. Hisham, rahmatullah alayhi, said, some of the children of Abdullah ibn Zubair, radiallahu ta'ala, such as Khubayb and Abad, were the same age as Zubair's own sons. They enjoyed a rare brother-uncle relationship amongst each other. At that time when he was martyred, Zubair had 9 sons and 9 daughters. So let's look at this. This is in Sahih Bukhari. So Abdullah ibn Zubair is Zubair's son. But Zubair, radiallahu anhu, he had other sons. And what's strange, Zubair radiallahu anhu's sons and Abdullah ibn Zubair's sons were the same age. Have you understood this? Right? So basically, his sons, the sons of Zubair. So Zubair's sons were, I'm going to confuse myself, right? Abdullah ibn Zubair had sons, Khubayb and Abad, and they were the same age as Zubair's own sons. So simply put, they were his uncles and they were also his brothers. Have you understood? Right? So Zubair's sons were his uncles and also his brothers. Zubair had 9 sons and 9 daughters, meaning he was blessed with many children. Zubair's progeny was truly blessed. Why? In Abu Ya'la ibn Asak, Kanz al-Umal, volume 5, page 70, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 155 of the New English Translation, Zubair himself said, radiyallahu, Rasulullah had made a special dua for me, my children, and even my progeny. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made a special dua for me, my children, and my progeny. So we shouldn't find it strange he was blessed with many children and grandchildren, as the Prophet made dua for all of them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. More will be mentioned about this most noble man's family later. I just want to give you a brief here. So let's go back now to the time of his birth, his blessed birth. Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu anhu was still an unborn child in his mother's womb when he and his mother were passing over the burning desert sun, leaving Makkah for Al-Madinah on their migration route. His blessed mother Asma had hardly reached Quba, just outside of Medina, when she began to suffer labor pains. So now this is very interesting if you know your seerah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with Abu Bakr Siddiq in the cave, Ghari Thawr, he spent 3 days there. And who actually would bring food to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu? Asma. So a person goes, okay, so mashallah, she was pregnant. So a person goes, okay, she must have been light. No, she wasn't. Because if she gave birth and she migrated to Quba shortly thereafter, so let's say, okay, give it 2 months. She was in her 7th month pregnancy. And if you go and climb Thor, which we did, you know, well, you know, we pride ourselves on our health. We were sweating buckets. Right? We went, we had a break, went a bit further up, had another break. Took us an hour and a half, 2 hours to get up. And I was remembering Asma, radiyallahu anha, a woman who's 6, 7 months pregnant is bringing food to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq, her father. And people fail to mention that. You get this impression that she, obviously, even if she wasn't pregnant, it's a very dangerous task to say in the least. And to do it when people are targeting your father and your, you know, the father-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you know that it's even more dangerous. And to be pregnant, subhanAllah. So, another thing. When Abu Bakr Siddiq left, radiyallahu anhu, i.e. Makkah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't leave nothing. He wiped his family clean. So what happened was, Abu Bakr's father, Abu Qahafa, radiallahu anhu, he was blind by that time. And he knew his son. So he came to his granddaughter, Asma. So don't forget, this is around the same time. He's pregnant, 6 months into a pregnancy. So Abu Qahafa, the report says in Tabarani, Sahih Hadith, he says, I know my son, and I know he's not left you anything. Is that true? So Asma bint Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, she goes, he was right. He didn't leave anything. But then I wanted to put my grandfather's heart at rest and he was blind. So I got some pebbles and I put a cloth over it. And I goes, oh, father, nothing to worry about. Have a feel. So he quickly, she let, you know, got hold of his hand, placed it over the cloth very quickly. But look, plenty of dirhams. And then Abu Qahafa goes, oh, then it's fine. I thought he's left you nothing. So now what do you learn about Asma? Right? If Abu Bakr Siddiq has left nothing, if you've left your heavily pregnant daughter, right? What confidence has he got in her? Right? He's left nothing. And she's proving her worth. Then what happened? The report says in Tabarani, Sahih Hadith, Abu Jahl comes. He's trying to work out where the Prophet's gone, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the report goes that he realizes that Abu Bakr's family must know where he is. So he rushes to Abu Bakr's dwelling and he knocks very loud on the dwelling, and Asma opens the dwelling, opens the door. So Abu Jahl says, in anger, because where's your father? So she goes, I don't know. Then Abu Jahl, the accursed, he slaps Asma across the face. And the report goes, her earring breaks. So this is another nail in the coffin for Abu Jahl. Think about that. Even today, does a man strike a woman? Even if they're completely off the rocker, they don't do it because it's not, men don't strike women. It's not a manly thing to do. Tell Abu Jahl that. Not only did he strike her, he knew she was pregnant. Right? So think about that. So look at the suffering she had to go through. And who was in her womb whilst all this was happening? Bole bale Musliman in it. Abdullah ibn Zubair. So don't you think when he heard all these reports, he was thinking, Allahu Akbar, my mother went through all this whilst I was in her womb. And think about that. This is why they became so great, these people. But people go straight to the birth. Oh, he was born. Hang on a minute. He was born. Is there anything you missed out on the way? And then look at all these things. Isn't it worth mentioning, brother? Have you forgot everything? Right, so no, this was the mother of Abdullah ibn Zubair. So what happened? Then she's migrating. So even if she's on a camel, she's walking, a heavily pregnant woman, she could give birth any time. Imagine middle of the desert, who's there to now look after you? But alhamdulillah, she gets to Quba. Think about that, alhamdulillah. And at Quba is when the labor pang started. So what happened? In Sahih Muslim, number 5617, Asma herself relates, radiyallahu anha, I set out when I was in the late stages of pregnancy. I headed for Al-Madinah. I stopped in Quba and gave birth to my son in Quba. When I recovered, I then went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who upon seeing my son, put him in his lap. And he called for a date. He chewed it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then put the saliva in his mouth. Thus the first thing that entered the stomach of my son was Rasulullah's saliva, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then rubbed his palate with a date and he made dua for him and he blessed him. وَقَانَ أَوَّلَ مَوْلُودٍ وُلِدَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ He was the first child to be born in Islam after the Hijrah. He was the first child to be born in Islam after the Hijrah. So Abu Bakr Siddiq, his joy knew no bounds. Because my daughters arrived safely and Allah has blessed me with a son. Think about that. Because when you go into their lives, you'd always picture their family as well. So who is basically honoring Abdullah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now think about this. She's given birth in Quba. And then she still wants blessings for her son. When she's recovered, I went. And the Prophet got the date and he did the tahniq, it's called tahniq, which they found out is very important for the child. The child, his umbilical cord is providing everything for the unborn child. When that umbilical cord is cut, the child goes into a very dangerous condition because he now has to rely upon his own organs for the first time. So it's very important to give it something sweet so that the own engine starts up. Then you say to the person, well, how did a man know that 1,400 years ago? But here again is another proof of tahniq. The Prophet did this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then look how interesting. The first thing that entered his blessed mouth was the saliva of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second thing, the Prophet made a dua for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Third thing, he blessed him. And Asma said he was the first child to be born after the Hijrah. Meaning the Hijrah was actually being completed with my child's birth by Abdullah. So he was born in Quba. Now think about that. You know, we've got connections to Quba. You know, if you don't know what Quba is, then God help you. Right? But else, right? So Quba is the place where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built the first masjid. Quba is older than Masjid al-Nabi. Think about that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why it's so holy, because the Prophet built it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first prayer he offered was in Quba. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever offers a prayer in Quba, he will get the reward of an umrah. Right? So this is a famous hadith in the Sunnahs. The Prophet himself would go there on Saturdays. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would go every Saturday, sometimes riding, sometimes walking, Saturday morning. Why he would go on Saturday, the scholars give their views. One view is, he would also go to the martyrs of Uhud on Saturday. Fatima continued with this tradition. Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Quba is a very holy place. Allah Ta'ala mentions it in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran that this is the place where you should pray. He encourages you to pray in that masjid, Masjid al-Quba, the place where piety, built upon piety. So all of this is known to us. How do you think Abdullah ibn Zubayr looked at Quba? Allah Ta'ala made him born there. He was born. Where are you born, brother? And people are proud of where they're born. You know, brother, I was born in London. Right? Congratulations. Right? Where were you born, brother? Barbados. Fantastic. Right? Where were you born? The places to be honored is Makkah, Medina. He was born in Quba. That wasn't a coincidence. Allah Ta'ala was showing to you that this is a very noble soul. He's got a connection to this holy city. Now, what did Asma mean when she said he was the first child to be born in Islam? So one meaning is that after the Hijrah. So who was the first son or daughter to be born after the Hijrah? It was Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu. Now what's interesting, that makes Abu Bakr another first. Abu Bakr is all the first. His grandson was the first to be born after the Hijrah or during the Hijrah. And also another meaning is that the Bani Israel, they performed some very strong witchcraft. And they were saying that none of the Muhajirun can have children. We've done jadu. Right? So Allah Ta'ala put that to bed. And they did. You know, they didn't do the witchcraft. It wasn't if they didn't do it. But it can only work with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these were the mujtahids of witchcraft. They didn't just, you know, they were doing the ultimate. And how he, look at the report, it's like, it was like, well, what happened? What happened to that, you know, the great jadu of yours? Abdullah ibn Zubayr's born. Right? So Allah Ta'ala nullified it immediately. So note the auspicious beginnings of this great and noble youngster, radiallahu anhu. Not forgetting that his life actually begins when his mother was carrying in her blessed womb. Right? So you can actually say, technically, that he was in the cave with Rasulullah and Abu Bakr. You know, you could actually technically say that. Why? Because his mother was there and he's in the womb. Right? So note the great honor given to this great and noble son of Islam. So all I mentioned today was basically an introduction to the great life of Abdullah ibn Zubair. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ونواصي بالحق ونواصي بالصبر صدق الله العظيم